So, man, we'll get there, but that gospel, right? Thank you, Jesus. It is so good. First, though, just a question. Are you saved? Are you saved? And I know that is a super annoying question. Like, somebody asks it, you're like, oh, get lost. I don't want to have this conversation. Leave me alone. But I think a good response to that question is just to say, from what? Are you saved? From what? Because our second reading from St. Paul, he said, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so the follow-up, from what? Yes, he came into the world to save us from our sin, to save sinners, but that's really not even close to all that Jesus does save us from. Like, this is the crazy thing. It blows my mind about God's offer of salvation, the reality of being saved. It's not merely being forgiven. Forgiveness is not the end of it. Like, being saved is just like fire insurance, right? Maybe you've heard that before. I'm being saved from going to hell, and that's basically the end of what Jesus does. But the Bible reveals salvation is so much more than that. There's a scripture scholar. His name is Dr. Michael Barber. He wrote a book on salvation, named it Salvation. Pretty simple, straightforward. But I love what he said. He said, salvation is being saved from being unchristlike. Salvation is being saved from being unchristlike. It's not just about forgiveness of the past. It's not just this future hope for heaven. It's about something current. It's how he's changing you right now. It's a way of living that you can cooperate with. Salvation is being saved from being unchristlike. So think about it. When your salvation began, the day that you were baptized, you were brought into that relationship that Jesus has with his heavenly Father, that the love the Father has for the Son actually lives in you, right? That's the Holy Spirit. The love the Father has for the Son lives inside of you right now. And I know that's like a really like churchy way of explaining it. It's very theological. Maybe we could say it more simple. What does it mean to be saved from being unchristlike? It means this. It means you're saved from fatherlessness. Like, being saved from being unchristlike means you're saved from fatherlessness. You're saved from having an orphan spirit. You're saved from being abandoned. And the church goes so far as to say that of all the images and ideas we have about what salvation is, that's the one that gets it right the most. That's the best one. Going from being a slave to being a son or a daughter, being adopted, to know that we have been adopted by God, and now we can look at him and say, you're our dad now. So are you saved? Like, yes, we are saved from being fatherless. But the problem many of us have is we have been adopted. We have been saved. But we don't want to live in the Father's house. Like, we've been made into his kids, but we're like those prodigal sons, right? Because it's both of them. It's both sons. Where in our hearts, we're like them, where we say, I'm here, but I kind of want to be anywhere else. Like the younger son. Yeah, Dad, I know you love me. I kind of want to leave. I want to be somewhere else. Or like the older son who says, yeah, I'll stay in your house, but I'm here against my will. I'm here as a slave, not as a son or a daughter. Which is craziness, because if you've been adopted, we've been saved, why live like you have no dad? Like, why live as orphans when you've been adopted? I heard this story from another priest. He talks about when he was a new priest, baby priest, newly ordained, he got called to the hospital one day to go to the maternity ward. There was a couple who wanted to talk to him, and like, as a priest, when you get called to the maternity ward, you're like, ugh, rarely is that good. And so he gets to the hospital, he walks in, and the nurse stops him before he goes into the room where this couple is, and she says, you need to know the story. This couple, they drove up from another city because they were going to adopt this baby. They have arrangements made with the birth mother and everything. They were going to adopt the baby, but she has this birthmark on her face, and they don't want to take her home. And the priest, his name is Father Mike, he said he was just instantly furious at that, but he told himself, okay, calm down, go into the room and just start by like playing dumb. Just ask questions, see where they're at. And so Father Mike, he walks into the room, sees this, you know, young, attractive couple, and he acts like he doesn't know the situation. Because here they are, and I imagine like they have longed for a child. Like couples who are open to adoption normally have big hearts. They want to welcome a child into their home. But what happened was this child wasn't perfect. And so they didn't want to take her home. And so this priest, he walks in, he says, hey guys, like this is your baby, this is so amazing. And they're like, like, yep, there she is. And he says, what can I do for you? Again, play dumb. And they said, well, we just don't think we can take her. And the woman is holding the baby in her arms. And again, the priest kind of plays dumb and says, why? And he said, it was just the most tragic thing. She just kind of held up the baby and said, well, look. And Father Mike said, all I see is a beautiful baby. Yeah, but look at her face. I don't think we can handle that. And Father Mike said he knew at that point he couldn't play dumb anymore. He was angry. And he said, that's your baby. If you had had that baby normally, biologically, that would be your baby, right? Yeah. You committed to this little girl. This is your baby, right? We don't know. And he said, I think you called me here to bless this decision to abandon your baby. And I can't do that. And so I have to go, but I'll be back later if you want, if you're still here. And so he left. He said he had to calm down. He went for a long run to kind of work it out. And finally he gets back to his car and he called the hospital again. He said, hey, I was just there. I'm Father Mike, da-da-da. Is that couple still there? And they said, no. They left. And he said his heart like sank, you know, his stomach just kind of dropped. And he said, okay, well, did they take the baby with them? And the nurse said, yeah, they took the baby with them. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, you have been given a spirit of adoption that makes you cry out, Abba, Dad. And I don't know if you know this about like Roman law, but back then when Paul wrote that, being adopted meant four things. One is that you were given a new identity. A new name, new relationships, everything. Number two is if you owed any debts, when you were adopted, those debts were canceled. Doesn't matter what they were, how big they were gone. New identity, no debts. The third thing is once you were adopted, you had the full rights and inheritance of any natural born child. So you were not second class in any way to that family. But the fourth thing, when I heard it, it's fascinating to me. Being adopted under Roman law, so in Roman society, a natural-born son or daughter, if the parents were displeased in any way, they could dispose of their child. Any birth defect, the child wasn't the sex they wanted, a birthmark they didn't like, those parents could abandon the baby. They could bring it down to the local dump. They could leave it in the wilderness for animals to take. That was okay. But the crazy thing is, under Roman law, if you were adopted, you could never be abandoned. You can never abandon them. So if a parent found out there was some flaw, they found out later there was a defect, something was amiss, you were prohibited by Roman law from abandoning that child. You could never walk away from him or her. And so St. Paul, when he says, you've been adopted, that you've been saved from fatherlessness, he's saying, your father in heaven will never do what that couple in the hospital was about to do. He'll never say, well, look, he's broken, or she's not perfect, not good enough, and then walk away from you. The Father in the gospel today never stopped loving his children, even when they thought he had. Both children, both sons, were wrong about who they thought their father was and about what he thought about them. And we get it wrong too. And so what we do is we keep our distance from our Father. He doesn't keep his distance from us. We keep our distance from him, either because we've sinned And somehow we think because of that, he's the one pushing us away, when in reality, he's running after us, trying to give us his mercy. Or we think he's some type of ogre. He's mean, and we just have to keep him happy, keep pleasing him so he doesn't cut us off. And so either one of those, we have to repent in our hearts. We have to go to confession if that's needed, that reconciliation. But how easy that becomes to do when we come to see our Father for who he truly is. Who he says, this here is my daughter, and I will never walk away from her. This here is my son, and I'll never abandon him. Because while we as human parents can mess it up and walk away and abandon, and that has happened to some, but are you saved? Are you saved? And the answer is yes, you're saved from being unchristlike, which means you are absolutely, definitively, never-endingly saved from fatherlessness. You have a forever place in his home and in his heart. And even if you and I forget that, or we stop caring, he will never forget who you are to him. Amen.